Hello, and welcome to episode 10, the final episode of CSS Nouveau Season 1 for the Spicy Web. Final exercise, building a business app UI. Let's go fly a kite, or build a dashboard. Alas, I've got nothing for you half as fun as participating in hijinks made possible by the effervescent magic of Mary Poppins. But perhaps we can still have a bit of merriment as we put all of our skills to the test in the building of a quintessential business dashboard. The assignment. What sorts of things do businesses need to look at every day? Charts. Definitely charts. So let's add some charts to our dashboard. What else? Messages? Sure, some kind of latest messages or notifications or whatever. That'd be great. Maybe some upcoming group activities? People who run businesses often like to plan activities. Things like trust falls or brainstorming OKRs or very awkward holiday parties. I hear that's good for synergy. Of course, modern business people are often on the go, which means they're using smartphones. We most certainly need to ensure our business dashboard works on a smartphone. We'll want to have a sidebar menu with a list of links to the various areas of interest for this intranet solution. Key content which the dashboard can surface at a glance. And naturally, this sidebar should be responsive. And obviously, we won't be using React or Vue or Svelte or Angular or Solid or any other JavaScript framework to author our UI components, nor will we be using Tailwind or CSS and JS solutions or CSS modules or any other build step. Vanilla all the way, baby. My solution. Holy business dashboard, Batman! It lives! Now, before I get onto all the code-level fiddly bits, let's see how well I did on fulfilling the key points of the assignment. Charts? We got charts. Messages? We got messages. Upcoming group activities in which everyone is simply thrilled to participate? Absolutely. Attractive design which scales well on different screen sizes from mobile to large desktop displays? You be the judge. And most importantly, is everything in the UI using vanilla web tech? Yes! Technical notes. If you want to kick the tires locally, just clone the repo and run npm install and npm run start and open localhost 4000. For this project, I decided to use 11D, plus a smattering of Liquid templates, as a static site generator slash dev server, but trust me, I've kept the build processing to a strict minimum. This is merely a tiny step above authoring plain files in a folder. Everything's wired together solely with simple file includes, so that you can see just how far you can get with vanilla everything. Heck, I'm not even using something like ESBuild to produce CSS and JS bundles. The CSS imports are vanilla imports, so the browser will just download and process each file per spec. Most of the includes are nothing more than declarative Shadow DOM DSD templates. Because of the minimalist nature of the build system, it was easier to do it this way rather than wrap entire components, as you might do when using a system like WebC. While I would argue this isn't ideal for production work, I think it's good for an educational exercise. I really wanted to illustrate just how much of the call sites of components are simply HTML as you are used to, with the DSD embedded within each block of markup comprising merely an implementation detail of that component. Now, it's true that with frequent usage of DSD, HTML payloads will be a little heavier with those embedded style tags compared to other solutions. However, with good Brotli compression, you will find that the page size is really still pretty small. I've seen other sites sporting inline CSS and or JS with way heavier home pages. Regarding JavaScript, there's very little used on the site. For charts, I imported chart.js and then wrapped it in a fairly simple web component. By far, the trickiest part was getting charts to be responsive and fit well within the dashboard's grid cells. In terms of JavaScript for a few components, I just wrote inline script type equals module blocks in the template files. You should definitely not do this in production, but for the purposes of this demo, it's fine. Styling deep dive. You will be shocked how little CSS I actually used, outside of individual components. The global style sheets are tiny. I ended up resetting almost nothing. OpenProps is, of course, used to provide a good set of design tokens to start off with, but otherwise, less is more. I did a bit of work as well to separate out base tokens from semantic tokens, like we've discussed on previous episodes. Certainly, if this project were to grow into a larger admin UI, more global CSS would be needed. But how much more? Perhaps not much more. Pretty much all of the main site layout is handled by a DSD template attached to body. Yup, I did it. I added Shadow DOM to the whole webpage. Exploding head emoji. I really do think this technique featuring slots plus CSS grid is one of the coolest things in all of modern web design. The only thing which might give you pause is that DSD requires a polyfill in Firefox still, which is included in the project. Otherwise, in disabled JS environments, Firefox will look wonky. Could you use a CSS grid-based layout without DSD? Obviously, yes. But is it as elegant? Shrug emoji. Case in point, I love the fact that in the site-layout.liquid file, I can define my skip-to-content link at the bottom of the file, yet it's slotted in at the top of the Shadow DOM template, so that it's first in the browser's source order. That's a technique not enough folks cover when talking about the Shadow DOM. Your authoring phase source order and the browser's rendered source order can be different. Exploding head emoji. Besides using CSS grid for the main site layout, along with some fairly advanced trickery to handle a position fix sticky header and other grid area considerations, I use grid for laying out all the various cells in the main dashboard section. There are two grids, one for the charts, another for the messages and activities. And the top grid tweaks the default minimum grid cell size to adjust auto-responsive characteristics. Flexbox is also used, but generally just to lay out items on a single axis, aka a button and a text label, or a toolbar. It's taken me years to feel comfortable wielding both grid and flexbox depending on the task at hand. Not gonna lie, I found grid syntax super confusing at first. So don't feel bad if some of this stuff looks like Martian to you. You'll get the hang of it in time. December 4th, 2023 addendum. Another styling aspect I wanted to point out is the fluid or responsive sizes used in a number of places. For the body font, I could have used a true fluid typography solution, but due to force of habit, I relied on an old standby, modifying the body font size via percentages at a few breakpoints using the font scale variable. I set it to 95% for 600 pixels and below, 105% up to 1200 pixels, and 120% otherwise. Percentage of what? Well, browser defaults essentially. I stopped trying to use a base pixel value or something to that effect a long time ago. I'd rather let the user agent do what it's supposed to do and tweak accordingly from there. I tried to minimize my use of media queries generally, but they still do come in handy. Especially in this project, when I really needed to tweak the main grid and the sidebar behavior for mobile screens. The sidebar will fly out from the left side when tapping the hamburger menu icon. I used fluid sizing in a few places via OpenProps size fluid 2 variable, which scales from 1 rem to 1.5 rem, depending on viewport width. I assigned it to the semantic fluid sectioning variable, which I could then use for margins in a few places around the layout. I also included it in a calc to set the interior spacing of the messages component. Speaking of calc, I use that in quite a number of places for a variety of tasks. Inverting a positive number into a negative number, combining two token values together, tweaking values using multiplication or subtraction, and even performing an absolute position centering trick by setting the width of an element, the skip to content link, to 18 characters, the left side to 50%, and then subtracting that by 9 characters. My 1990s GUI designer self would be proud. Custom elements. As you can see, almost everything on the site is operating within custom elements, featuring the BD prefix. Most of them are HTML plus CSS only, no JavaScript. A full list. BD dashboard plus BD dashboard cell, BD icon, BD button, BD menu plus BD menu item, the latter is also a JS web component, BD callout, BD chart, another JS web component, BD messages plus BD message. One interesting thing about the callout and messages components is that they utilize several design tokens in the same manner so that they're visually consistent, even though they serve different purposes. Regarding the venerable button component, zooming out to the design system level, there are lots of ways to handle buttons and link buttons. Visually similar, but one's an actual button and the other is a href. And a cornucopia of opinions abound. Here's one such treatment by Corey LaVisca of Shoelace, link, about many of the issues involved. Because I have almost no real build system here, I couldn't add any additional logic to switch tags depending on incoming component parameters, even if I wanted to. So I tried something which now feels to me rather clever. I kept the link or button tag in light DOM as the sole child of the BD button component and styled them through the use of slotted asterisk, slotted A, and slotted button to cover the various use cases. While this pattern is more complicated in a way than what you might do if you're using Lit or some other web component framework, it's actually very simple from the buildless perspective. Attaching your event handler to your button is straightforward, and your link can likewise do all the linky stuff it might need to do, even including play well with other libraries you might add, like Turbo or Swup, to add nice SPA-like page transitions. The BD button wrapper simply lets you add your DSD styling and any other shared behaviors you might need to handle down the road. But Jared, all these components with DSD templates aren't real web components. Most of them I can't instantiate through JavaScript. They don't have client-side templates for rendering on the fly. Mostly everything here is just server-rendered HTML. Yeah, that's the whole point. I think most components you write on most projects should be HTML first. You get to decide what's also bundled into a client setting and usable in pure front-end UI. For example, perhaps you want BD button to be fully usable client-side, because you have a particular feature which needs that level of front-end fidelity, without waiting for full server round trips. Okay, there are some things you can do. You can render out a single template ID equals BD button SD somewhere in your global markup and reference that from a client-side instantiation. You can move your template into JS entirely, maybe even using something like Lit. Certainly, this would make the most sense if you are building a standalone design system to be published through NPM. Or you could server render a larger portion of your UI as a starting state entirely within a template tag, and then clone that multiple times to instantiate new front end. This might be great for a form builder or some other UI with repeatable sections. Your backend first renders a blank section, and then you just keep duplicating that to add new interactive UI. See a basic CodePen example. Link. The nice thing about authoring everything HTML first, vanilla wherever possible, is it's pretty straightforward to adopt more advanced and opinionated tooling later. Whereas it's very challenging to go the opposite direction. For example, backing out of heavy-duty client-side JavaScript components and switching to simple HTML templates. Component wrappers. A comment on my chart component. This is relatively bare bones in terms of supporting all the various chart types and customizations provided by chart.js, but it's a start. I hope it helps illustrate the dilemma we sometimes find ourselves in when working alongside the JavaScript ecosystem. Some libraries which sit outside of a specific framework like React, Vue, etc., merely offer imperative APIs. It's all about calling a function or object instantiation, passing a bunch of config options, and then mounting the widget on a div or whatever. In the age of web components, this is no longer acceptable. We need to be able to mount these widgets easily, anywhere we need to, via custom elements, and use APIs either through HTML attributes, simple JavaScript properties, or, at the most complicated end of the spectrum, event-based callbacks, which is the solution I arrived at here. Whether we're talking about charts, text editors, form controls like pop-up calendars or autocomplete combo boxes, image editors, or any other sorts of interactive controls in your UI, I'm team web components all the way. It'd be great if everyone provided them right out of the gate, but whenever that's not the case, we'll have to write our own wrappers. Bummer, but doable. Funky stuff. As with all projects, there's a fiddly bit here or there that doesn't feel quite right, but it's the best you could do with the time and techniques on hand. here are a couple of hacks I know about which could probably be improved. For the BD menu item component, the A link tag gets composed into the default slot. This poses a bit of an issue because it means if you click on another slot like an icon, nothing will happen because it's not included within the link tag. So my hack was to intercept clicks on the menu item which aren't part of the link and basically simulate link click behavior. Does it work? Well enough, but it's still a little hacky because you won't get the URL showing up in your status bar if you hover over the icon instead of the text. How might we do this differently? We could wrap the entire menu item in A, but then the direct child elements of BD menu would be a bunch of A elements, not menu items. I don't really like the semantics of that, but your mileage may vary. Maybe the trade-off is worth it. This kind of stuff often comes up when dealing with links in cards. You can read all about these issues in this article by Hayden Pickering. Link. The other fiddly bit is needing to add role equals list and role equals list item in a bunch of places to improve semantics and accessibility. It's not a huge deal, but the way this minimalist build system works, it's on the application template author to remember to include those for menu items and messages and things, rather than the component author. If I could use a system like WebC or Lit, I can ensure these components would render out with the proper ARIA roles without needing component consumers to deal with all that. Conclusion and next steps. There's probably a whole ton of points and thoughts and things to follow up on I'm forgetting, but that's what the Discord is for. I welcome your questions, ideas, concerns, and challenges. Now it's your turn. How would you build a business dashboard with some of the basic requirements mentioned above? What tech stack or framework might you reach for? How well would it support many of these HTML-first, vanilla-first techniques? For example, given that this would require a login and legit backend data in a real-world application, you might reach for a full-stack framework like Ruby on Rails. And for building components, you might pull in a Ruby gem like Vue Component. This would support most of everything you might need on the HTML side, even declarative Shadow DOM templates. But things get murky beyond there. For example, how do you bundle your global CSS and JS files? Rails lets you use ESBuild and post CSS via plugins, but provides no robust out-of-the-box configuration that manages either through a single pipeline, nor does it offer an obvious islands architecture approach to code splitting. If you use Turbo, it doesn't even support DSD. Your templates will break. Thankfully, there's an extension I wrote to help solve this. Even if you get ESBuild and post CSS up and running, using it with sidecar, CSS, and JS files in your components folder is non-trivial. You could try to figure out an ESBuild glob solution yourself, or pull in a third-party solution, like Chris Oliver's ESBuild Rails. I myself ended up pulling in Bridgetown's built-in ESBuild config, and tweaking as needed on a couple of Rails projects. It's easier because I already know how it works. For a framework which people typically think lets you write a lean and mean front end without all the baggage of JS frameworks, kind of feels hard and weird to get started with a robust vanilla-oriented front end architecture. Or let's say you want to use Astro, a shiny new framework which ships 0.js by default, plays well with HTML-first techniques, and offers SSR features in addition to a static site. Lots of groovy features to be found here. It's just that working with Astro's component model and slots and so forth right alongside the semantics of native web component slots and declarative Shadow DOM, as well as global light DOM styling versus component Shadow DOM styling, well, I had a frustrating time hacking together some solutions which sort of work. That was a while back, though. Maybe Astro's improved things since. But it just goes to show that frameworks which try to help make your job easier will sometimes simply get in your way. I don't say all this to discourage you. I'm just saying no matter which tried and true or new hotness framework you might reach for to build a new web application with, it may take a bit of upfront effort to get past the frameworkness and build your as vanilla as possible front-end architecture. I wish things were different in this regard. I wish in the year 2023 going into 2024, frameworks would expose as much of the specs and semantics of the native web as they possibly can and provide explicit opt-in to their own frameworky bits. Let's hope public pressure and increased awareness of all the marvels of modern front-end engineering take things in a promising direction. In the meantime, you now have some fundamentals under your belt to help you build tokens, resets, classless themes, and components with or without Shadow DOM using nothing but vanilla HTML and CSS. Pat yourself on the back. It's been quite the journey, and these are techniques you can utilize and build upon for years to come. As a homework assignment, I'd love to see how you might build something like this business dashboard. Which trade-offs would you choose? How would you build up the start of a design system? Would you reach for open props as well? Start from scratch? Use one of the classless frameworks we discussed previously? Would you use a well-known library like Shoelace for some of your components? Or build those from scratch too? Would you author vanilla web components? Or use a library like Lit? Hop in the Discord and show off what you build, or ask questions to help steer you in the right direction. And remember, all of your feedback and suggestions will go right into the development of Season 2 of CSS Nouveau, so now's your chance. I sincerely wish this course proved helpful to you and gave you lots of food for thought for further explorations and progress in your career as a web developer. Let's raise a toast to all of the amazing and powerful technology we now have at our fingertips, right there in the modern web browsers we all use today. There's never been a better time to be a developer working with the medium of the web. Yeah. That's all, folks.